Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Still Small Voice. I am Sharon Hurst, and I am so grateful to have you with me today. You know, today I want to talk about something that has been on everyone's mind, you know, the changes that we're seeing going on around in the world today. And I am praying that the message that the Lord has given me will cause us to really think about this world, think about the lives that we're living, think about the people that are around us that are affected by what we are doing. And as I'm saying we, I know I can't refer to everyone, but I am referring to those of us that have been confessing to be Christians, those of us that love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. You know, I've asked the Lord so much lately, so much to just burden me with the things that are on his heart. You know, Father God, I want to be sensitive to the leading and the direction of your Holy Spirit. And as I've been praying and fasting, you know, the Lord has been doing just that. So the message that he gave me today is wake up, church, and pray. You know, the Lord is opening the eyes of his people to the things that are going on in this world around us. For too long, many of us have turned our focus inward. We've been so concerned about the things that have been affecting us that sometimes we have forgotten about the ones that don't yet know the Lord, don't know the word of the Lord. We thought the things going on in other nations didn't concern us. And as a result, the things that have happened in other nations have come upon us. Now the world in which we live in has become sick. The Lord had me to study Mark chapter 14, 32 through verse 42. And you all know it. It's when the Lord was praying. And also, I went into Luke chapter 22 and verses 39 through 36, and I want to read those because I really want us to see how the Lord prayed the night before he left and how he was praying for him, for himself to make it to the cross, and also praying afterward for us so that we will love him, obey his word, and follow his word and teach that word to others as well. So I'm going to read Luke starting at the 39th chapter. And as I say, I'm pretty sure you know this. And it says, when the Lord came out and he went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place and he said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then it says how the Lord continued to pray. And then an angel appeared unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And he began to pray even more earnestly, and he prayed so as sweat dropped from him as though it was blood falling to the ground. And the Lord continued to just pray. And then over in Mark chapter 14, verse 30, starting at verse 32, it says the same thing, verse basically. He told his disciples to sit here while I pray. He took Peter and James and John with him. And, you know, they were tired. And he told them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went a little forward and he fell to the ground and he prayed that this hour might pass. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what thy will. And he came and found Peter and John sleeping. And he said, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? You couldn't watch 1 hour? watch ye and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is so weak. And he went away and prayed. The same words. He came back and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were very heavy. And they didn't even know what they would say to him anyway. And he came a third time and said, sleep now, take your rest, for it is enough. The hour cometh that the Son of Man is betrayed by his enemy. Then he said, rise up, let us go, for he that betrayeth me is at hand. The Lord wants us to wake up. Wake up, get up from our bed of slumber, because too much is going on around us. We have not been advancing into the Lord's kingdom and bringing breakthrough into the lives of those who need to know who he is. We have allowed the enemy to gain too much ground. And the Lord is weary of this. He's tired of this. He says, we need to stop this. He's given us the power to stop it. But we are continuing to allow it to go on. He wants the church to wake up so that people will know who he is. He wants us to seek him with all of our heart, with prayer and fasting, so that we can see the power, his power, move among this nation. The Lord told his disciples at one point, when they could not cast a demon out of a child, it was because they didn't have enough power. Yes, they had some power, but the power that they needed to cast out the enemy out of this child, they could not get this power except through prayer and fasting. And if we want to see a change in our land, church, we've got to humble ourselves and pray. We've got to seek the Lord like never before. We've got to turn from our wicked ways so that the Lord will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal this land. Church, it's time for us to wake up and pray. God is waiting on us. We're crying out there. We want to see the Lord come down and do something, but until we get on one accord, until we pray like they did on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, until we truly set our face to seek his face, the Lord is not going to come down and heal this land. We have got to wake up, church. And I'm talking to all of us. And I'm when the Lord gave this word to me, it pricked me in my heart as well, because yes, I have been doing something, but I know I have not been doing enough. We have not been doing enough. It is time for us to confess who Christ is, to stand on the word of God. We got to stop denying who Christ is and stop denying what he said. We have got to stop being little children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's time for us to grow up and start boldly speaking the word of truth and speak it in love so that people will be drawn unto him. We have got to change the state of the church. I want us to just stop and think about the way the church was in the book of Acts. The early church, they were bold. They confessed the word of God. Think about Peter. Now we know before Peter was weak, but after the day of Pentecost, on that day, Peter rose up. Peter preached a powerful sermon. Peter preached so that day that 3,000 souls were saved. He did not care because his life had been changed and the Holy Ghost was in him and he was ready to go forth and speak the word with boldness. And it didn't matter that the kings of that land were coming against him. It did not matter that they were threatening to do away with Peter and the disciples because of the word of God that they were speaking. Peter said it was better for them to obey God than man. It didn't matter what they were threatening to do to him, because he knew what he had to do. The disciples knew what they had to do. They lifted up the name of the Lord and they just confessed who the Lord was. They confess it behind closed doors. They confess it out in the street. And see, we have stopped doing that. It didn't matter that they were beaten. And when they let them go, I mean, you think about it. They were beaten for the word of God. They were threatened for the word of God. They wanted them to shut up and not teach this word anymore. But when the council let them go, they left there rejoicing. And when they got to the others that were praying, they met them with joy in their heart. And they told them what had happened to them. They were not afraid to say, okay, we can't teach in this name anymore because they're threatening to do us bodily harm. They didn't consult others about what to do about preaching in the name of Jesus or talking about the goodness of the Lord. No, what they did was they lifted up their voices to heaven and asked the Lord to grant them to speak the word even more with boldness and asked the Lord to stretch forth his hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done by the name of Jesus Christ. And they continued daily in the word. Nothing was going to stop them from preaching the word of God. They could not keep their mouth shut. And even after they killed Stephen and killed James, they continued to preach the word of God. Peter, as you know, was put in jail. But now the church prayed for them and prayer was made without ceasing. They didn't stop. And the angel came in and released Peter. Now you're talking about the power of prayer, and that power still exists today. But now this was in the early church. This was the state of the church. They were laying down their lives so that souls could be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were on a mission. The Lord had commanded them to go out because he didn't want anyone to perish. Now let's look at the state of the church today. We have stopped watching and praying as they did then. Now we are surrounded by evil. But yet it tells us in Romans 12 and 21 to be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We have allowed the strong man to come into our homes, our churches, and our school. We've allowed the strong man to bind us with all of his false doctrine now. We've got Christians questioning whether the word of God in the Old Testament still applies today. Some of them are trying to reword it so that it's right, so that people won't be offended. But let me tell you one thing. It is the word of God, and that settles it, because God doesn't change. Church, we better wake up and pray. When the Father spoke the word in the Old Testament, his son Jesus followed in his father's footsteps and backed him up. In John 8 and 38, Jesus said, he spoke that which he saw his father speak, and he did what he saw his father do. He was following in his father's footsteps. We cannot pick and choose the words that we want to honor from the Old Testament. In other words, we can't claim the blessings that say, I'm going to be blessed in a city, blessed in a field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. We can't say that the work of my hand is going to be blessed, and I'm going to lend to many and not have to borrow, that I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You know, we love to confess those words, because I do too. So if we're going to confess those blessings of the Old Testament, and we should confess them because we are heirs of Abraham. We are joint heir with Jesus Christ. So then if we're going to confess the blessings, if we're going to claim those words, then we also have to recognize that when the Lord said, we shouldn't be killing, we shouldn't be stealing, we shouldn't commit adultery, and that a man shouldn't lie down with a man as with woman. If he said it was wrong then, it's wrong today. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why do we think it has changed? He tells us in Luke 21 and 33 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Then he tells us in verse 36 to watch therefore always and then pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass so that we were able to stand before the Son of Man. Church, we've been watching, but we haven't been praying, not as we should. We have watched things happen around us. We have watched sin just continue to grow, but we have not been praying the way we should have been praying. See, we are the salt of the earth. But it also says, if we aren't salty anymore, what good are we to anyone? We are no good. Because without that seasoning, and we all got our special seasoning that we put in our food. Now, if without that seasoning in our food, that food is bland and no one wants to eat that. You don't want any part of that stuff. But this is how some of us have become. And if we don't get our seasoning, which is the word of God, then we are no good to the Lord, and we shall be cast out and trampled under the feet of men. And church, if we look around, people, if we look around right now, this is what is happening to us. We have lost our seasoning. We have walked away, and I know it's a hard thing to say. We've walked away in some aspect from the word of God. And when we get further removed, and as we walk away further and further from that word, we become bland. We become tasteless. People don't know who we are. We say that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. However, if we don't let Jesus out, if we don't pour out into others what God has poured into us, how will they know how great is our God? If we don't open our mouth and confess Jesus, how will they know that God is not dead, that he is still alive? We've taken our light and hid it under a bushel, and people don't even know who we are. We don't want anyone to see our light because we don't want to offend anyone. But you know, I'm like Paul. I'm not living my life to please people. I'm living my life to please the Lord. And if the word of God is offending them, then you know what? That is a good thing. So maybe that will make them pick up their Bible and search the word for themselves. And as they're searching that word, guess what? It's going to draw them nearer to the Lord. We're so concerned about being politically correct that we have allowed the politicians to divert us from the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And they have set us on a worldwide road that is leading us straight to hell. Yet these are the ones that we are trying to please. These are the ones that are telling us that God, that the word of God needs to be adjusted to the times, because what applied back then wasn't meant for today. But I tell you right now, if you kill someone, they are going to put you in jail. And the word of God said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. So that word still applies today. You kill someone and see if these politicians won't lock you up in jail. I tell you again, the word of God does not change. Instead of us saturating our mind with the word of God, we've allowed politics into our house. Now the enemy has caused us to war against each other. It's gotten to the point that we are skirting around the truth. And we're thinking that it's okay because that's not affecting our house. But yes, it is. It's affecting our house, because this house, and I'm speaking of your spiritual house, is supposed to be a temple, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And we have allowed it to affect our house. People, we cannot serve two masters, for we either hate one or love the other. We'll hold to one and despise the other. The word says we cannot serve God and man. We're either for Christ or we are against him. Instead of us coming together in the Lord to defeat the enemy's got us fighting against each other. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And because we're not standing as one in the name of Jesus, the strong man has bound us and plundered our blessings in our homes, our family. The unity is gone. He's plundered our schools and taken away prayer. He's even come into the body, the church, the body that Christ died for, and plundered the word of God that was once preached so strongly. So now we're preaching a watered down version because we don't want to offend anyone. But I say, ministers, we've got to answer to that one day. Because if we're not preaching the word from the Bible, if we're not preaching what the word of God says to get his people saved, then God is going to hold us accountable. Church, it's time for us to wake up and pray. It is time for us to confess what the word of God says. Confess it in season. Confess it out of season. Confess it in your home. Confess it in the street. If it's in the Bible and the Bible says that is wrong, that is what we are supposed to be confessing, not trying to find some watered down way to say it. Say it the way Jesus said. See, I love our Lord. See, when he came into this world, he's all about love. He didn't hate anyone. And Christians, we're not supposed to be hating anyone. He wants us to hate the sin, pray for them, and hate the sin, because we're not warring against flesh and blood. It's spiritual wickedness that this battle must be fought against. And to do that, we have got to be prayed up, church. Effective prayer. It will destroy the work of the enemy. It will tear his kingdom down. Effective prayer will release the ability and the power of the Lord in the earth. For he said, if two or three are gathered together, touching anything, anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them by his Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he is in the midst. And whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Church, it's time for us to wake up and pray and bind the enemy and stand in the name of Jesus Christ and ask the Lord to allow us to speak his word with boldness and stretch forth his hand, that signs and wonders will be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Church, we ought to always pray and not faint. And it doesn't matter if the prayer that we pray does not, if we do not see it manifested right then. But when we pray, there's a battle going on in the spirit realm. And the angels are doing battle on our behalf. We are to keep on praying and praying and praying until we see a change in the land. And as we suit up in the whole armor of God, praying always with supplications in the spirit, watching and persevering. But when we suit up in the whole armor of God, pray, because we can put on that armor of God. But if we don't pray, that armor is going to be ineffective. It's not going to do the work. We got to suit up and then pray up. And it's not over. It's not over, church. No matter what we see going on in this land, it's not over until the Lord says it over. It's over. When Hezekiah, the word came that to get your house in order because you're going to die. What did Hezekiah do? He turned his face to the Lord and he cried out. He asked the Lord to remember how he worked, how he walked before him. With a perfect heart. He reminded the Lord of all the things that he did and he wept sore. And then the Lord sent the word back and told him, I heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. And he added 15 years to his life. Can't tell me that prayer won't change things, because when Hezekiah prayed this prayer, God came down and he did a change in his life. And how many times did Moses intercede for Israel? When we know the Lord wanted to destroy this stiff-necked generation, but he interceded, and it says the Lord repented of the evil he wanted to do to his people, and that changed because Moses interceded. And what about when the Lord prayed in John 17? And he not only prayed for himself, he not only prayed for his disciples, he prayed for us. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through the message that they're going to bring, that they also may be one. just as you, Father. Father, that you and I are one, I in you and you in me, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, that I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Before the Lord laid down his life, he had us on his mind. Before we took our first breath, he was praying for us. So why can't we wake up, church, and pray? Why can't we wake up right now and pray for this sin-sick world that we're living in? The Lord is watching. He's watching the things that we do, and he's listening for our prayers. He tells us in 1 Peter 3:12, but the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto our prayers. The same way sin reached heaven and caused God to come down to see what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, this is the time that the prayers of the righteous should be going up to heaven and cause the Lord to come down and heal the land, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We've got to stop sleeping on the Lord. We are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and pray. We need to do this right now. And I say to parents that have children, it's not too early for you to teach these children how to wake up and pray and learn them to cry out to the Lord in prayer for this world that they live in. You know, we say the children are our future, but what future will our children have if we don't teach them right now how to wake up and pray for the world that is to be theirs? I say to the young men and the women and those of us who have lived blessed life far beyond 50 years, we don't have the time that we once had when, you know, we were planning our future and thinking of all the other things. I say to us, it is time to start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness like never before. For truly time is winding down. Truly time is winding down. Our future is now. We have been blessed to live some glorious years. And I know all the years may not have been what we wanted them to have been, to be, but we are still alive. God is not dead. Nevertheless, we are still here. And say as Jesus said, not our will, but thy will be done in our lives. Lord, teach us to pray the prayers that will destroy the strongholds of the enemy coming against us. It's past time now. We've got to wake up. It's time for us to wake up and war in the spirit against the enemy, for he has advanced into our territory. God's church, it's time for us to shut him down. You know, Revelation speak of the Antichrist and his day of coming. However, if we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, it is the last time, and yet we have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The Antichrist is coming in many shapes and forms right now. Church, open your spiritual eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to just put a prayer in your spirit right now. Because you see, the enemy is working overtime. He's not taking weekends or holidays off. That's why we've got to wake up and pray. You know, King Solomon, he prayed a prayer in 2 Chronicles in the 6th chapter. And he prayed his prayer. He prayed for continual faithfulness. He prayed for the presence of the Lord. He prayed for forgiveness and restoration. He prayed for help in times of plagues. He prayed for help in time of war. He prayed for help in time of sickness. He prayed for continual blessings. He prayed and asked the Lord to forgive us, to hear from heaven, to come from his dwelling place, to hear their prayer and their supplications. He prayed and asked for forgiveness because he said the people have sinned against him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And he said, if I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, the Lord said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See, I believe the Lord would do the same thing for us right now. If we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we have sinned. If we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I have not confessed your word like I should have. If we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I denied what you said, Father God, in the Old Testament is still true today, Lord Jesus. If we pray and seek his face, and if we turn from our wicked ways, then the Lord will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and he will heal our land. Church, our land needs healing. It's time for us to wake up and pray. It's time for us, church, to wake up and stop sleeping and slumbering on the Lord. It's time for us to stop sleeping so long in our beds. It's time to stop all that backward thinking, and it's time for praying instead. See, the world has changed from what the Lord created it to be. Now the enemy has got the world filled with hatred, war, and so much poverty. Church, as the old song says, the world is not going to get any better if we continue to let it be. The world is not going to get any better unless we change it, you and me. Church, it's time to wake up and pray. It's time to confess to the Lord that we need him in our land. I pray this message has blessed you today. I pray that you will think about it, and as you listen to it, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and ask the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do so that your kingdom will be glorified? And right now, I pray right now, Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone that hears this message. I pray, Father God, right now that you will cause them to hunger and thirst for more of you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, Father God, to cause them to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ, to confess who you are right now, Lord Jesus, to suit up in the whole arm of God and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives right now, Father God, as we prepare, Father God, to wage war in the spirit realm, Father God, as we, Father God, we go out and battle, Father God, for your kingdom right now, Lord, that we will all come together on one accord, Lord Jesus, so that we can have another day of Pentecost in this great nation right now, Lord Jesus. Father God, we cry out, we hunger, and we thirst for more of you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you right now, Lord Jesus. Cause us to be watchmen on the wall right now, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father God, for this message. And I pray, listeners, that you will be blessed by what you have heard today. You have been listening to the Still Small Voice. And today's message is, wake up, church, and pray. This is Sharon Hurst. And until the next time, be prayerful, be watchful, and keep your channel clear. The Lord is listening. I want you to listen for that still small voice. Be blessed and have a great day. Bye-bye.